Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Because God is good. And all the time, God is good. I want to thank Brother Hall for those fine spirited songs this morning. He gets us in motion. There we have it. The scripture was read for your hearing from Luke chapter 12. He started with verse 16, but I'm also going to add verse 15. And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke the parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease and eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then who will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord God, O Heavenly Father, Father, we know you are rich in everything. You are rich in your mercy. You are rich in your grace. You are rich in your love toward us. And Father, you simply ask us to love you back. And many of us are not capable of doing that, or we won't do that. But we know that in order to be one of your children, we must have love. We must thank you, be thankful to you for everything you do for us. Thank you, Lord, for this new day that you have prepared us and given us. Thank you, Father, for this new day in which we've never seen before, a day unlike yesterday, because we'll never see yesterday again, nor will we ever see this day again. So we're so thankful, Father, that you have blessed us to see it from its beginning. We pray that you take us through this entire day, O Lord. Father, we pray for the leaders of this congregation. We pray for the members of this congregation, their families. We pray for peace and love and harmony among each and every brother and sister that are members of the body. We thank you, Father, for those who are sick, and we pray for them that they might get well soon and be back with us once again. We thank you for so many things, Lord. We owe you so much, and you just simply ask for so little, and many of us can't deliver on that end. We're just thankful that you give us an opportunity to continue in this life. Father, we pray and thank you for your darling son who hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross, that we may have a right to the tree of life. We thank you, Father, that we are here today, and it is a cloudy and an overcast day, but this is your weather. You call it whenever you will, in any way that you will. And in Jesus' name, I'm asking all of these blessings and many others. Let the church say amen. Many of us have probably heard the saying, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." But I'm here to let you know that our lives are made up of things more important than possessions. Possessions, pleasures, power, and popularity. Jesus is a master at telling parables, and today we can look at an age-old parable in order to learn that these things mentioned above won't really matter in the end. So let us look to the word of God to see what it shows. Once again, in verse number 15, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. So we're going to talk about what does life consist. Well, number one, life is a gift from God. Life is a gift from God. The book of Genesis gives us to know that our life was given unto us by God. We were no more than dirt. Watch the Bible's description. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This shows us that not only as the giver of life, but he also sustains it as well. God constructed Adam, then he provided him with the breath of life. We are fashioned by the hand of God. We must consider that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in us, which we have of God, and we are not our own, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. We don't know when this God-given life shall end. Only God knows. If you'll notice 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 6, the Lord killeth and he maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. God has the power to bring man to the brink of the grave, and then he can bring him up again if he chooses to. God is God, and he made us, and he can take us out of this world at any time he chooses. Into our lives, we are under his control. But he does allow us to make choices in the matter of our spirituality. He gives us two choices. He gives us a choice of heaven or hell. We can go the way we like, but understand he is still in charge of our final outcome. Life is a stewardship. Let us consider what a steward is, first of all. A steward is one who takes care of what belongs to another. When you consider that some of us, and I'm not talking about anybody here, but some of us like to brag and talk about what we own, and what it really boils down to is that these things all belong to God, and he allows us the privilege of using them. Psalms 24 and verse number 7 puts it all in its proper setting. The earth is the Lord's and fullness thereof, of the world and that dwell in it. And they that dwell in it, therein. God allows us to use the things in and of this life. It all still belongs to him. When the text tells us that he owns the earth and the fullness thereof, it means that he owns it all. He owns everything, including what he like to call out, what we like to call our own bodies. Henceforth, we are God's steward, and we are being loaned everything we like to call mine, when it really is only being loaned to us by God. We like to talk about the money we have. Well, that's not yours. The food we eat, that's not yours. It belongs to God. The cars we drive, even some of us, the illness we have belong to God as well. Watch the Bible explain it. Read with me, if you will, over in Psalms chapter 50. Let me go over to Psalms chapter 50. Psalms chapter 50, starting at verse number 10. And the Bible says in Psalms 50 and 10.
For every animal of the forest is mine.
There you go.
And the cattle on a thousand hills.
There you go.
And every bird in the mountains. And the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all that is in it.
There it is. There it is. That's enough. For now, will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? offer to God thanksgiving, and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. But I just wanted to let you see what God owns. Everything is God's. For every beast of the forest, the cattle on a thousand hills, I know all the birds of the mountain and the wild beasts of the field, they are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine in all its fullness. God owns everything. Everything that we have or that we possess, it belongs to God and it's not ours. We need to understand that since we don't really own anything, everything could be taken from us in a moment's notice. The point is this, that a person must learn to accept the whole being belongs to the master. Everything that the rich man had in this, in which he thought it was his own, but in a flash God told him, he called him a fool. He said this night he was being called to leave all he had. So the question becomes, whose things that he possessed that he thought was his, to whom would they belong? Look at the text, if you will. In Luke chapter 12, look at verse number 16. And he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crop? So he said, listen to this part, church. I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of thee. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So it is with us too. We could be called at any time, church. The point is that a person must learn to accept that our whole being belongs to the master. The rich man, everything the rich man had in which he thought was his own, but in a flash God called him a fool and said he was being called to leave all that stuff behind. To whom would they belong? When and whenever we accumulate, they are not ours. They are only on loan to us, and we need to be careful how we treat others and how, more importantly, how we respect and love the Lord. And to thank him for each and everything that he allows us to have or that he allows us to use. Life is a relationship. We must first and foremost form a relationship with God. Then we need to have a relationship with one another. A good relationship is necessary for a good life. Watch in verse 20 and 21 of our text. Look at verse number 20. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. So you got to form a relationship with God. And I don't mean a generic relationship. I mean a real, true relationship with God. You know, when your doctor gives you a prescription, you ask him sometimes, is there a generic version? That means it's a cheaper version. That means it'll do the same thing, but it's not as good as the first one. So they tell us. But we have to form a perfect relationship with the Master, as perfect as we can be. He thought he had all this stuff, but the Lord asked him, what are you going to do with it now? He is showing us if we are not careful, we too would be considered a fool. Can be considered a fool. When it comes especially to our spiritual brothers and sisters, we need to help them in whatever way we can. They are our family. Our blood family is not our only family in this world. We're going to need others. as we travel this life called, this journey called life. We're going to need to remember that after we leave this life, we shall live on someplace, and where it is yet to be determined. Do you remember in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7, where the writer said, "Peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Do you all remember in Mark chapter 4 where a great storm had begun to beat up on the ship that Jesus was in? He simply rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And there came a great calm. When your life is going through a storm, you need Jesus. If your life is disrupted by stuff, this is when you need the peace of Jesus. If your job is in turmoil, you need the peace of Jesus. You let him to say, "Peace, be still." When your home life is at an all-time low, you need the peace of Jesus. When your sickness starts to act up and you become weary and weak and tired and it wears you down and the doctors no longer seem to know what to do, you need the peace of Jesus. He owns everything anyway, so he knows therefore how to deal with what we can't deal with. No matter what it is, church, turn it over to Jesus. Let him handle it. Yes, church, we need to stay in prayer that the peace of Jesus will bring calm to this raging world in which we live, and people killing and harming one another for no other reason than evilness. People going hungry for no other reason than greed. Like the man in our text today who thought it was all his, but he needed to have the peace of Jesus, that peace be still. Can you understand that? Peace must be still in order for us to have the peace of Jesus. We need to hear him say, "Peace be still. Peace be still." When you're sick and can't work and it means you can't pay the bill, Jesus can bring peace into your life. When you're hungry and have no food in the cupboard you need the peace of Jesus. When you're up in turmoil and your life is disrupted, you need the peace of Jesus. Do you remember that in that book, the Bible said in Mark chapter 4, where the Bible says, "And a great storm came upon them in that boat, and the wind began to blow, and Jesus was trying to get him a little rest." But I just want you to know that Jesus will always be there for us if we just take heed and learn to form a relationship with him. So somebody said, "Lord, don't you care about this storm that's going to destroy us?" And somebody said, Jesus got up and said, out to the ocean and to the winds, he simply said, "Peace, be still." And the winds calmed down and the sea began to lose its force, the fight that was in it. Let me tell you something about Jesus, church. Jesus is the only one that can give peace into your life. Jesus is the only one that can help us to get through whatever we may be going through. I came by to tell you this morning that Jesus is the one we need in our times of need. I came by to let you know that Jesus is there for you. If you're there for him, he will be there for you. Call upon him, if you will. And where do I meet Jesus at? Well, you meet him in the watery grave of baptism. You go down and you come up a brand new creature. All things, old things, or former things are passed away. But you got to meet him. You meet him in the church by coming to the Lord's house. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Jesus is the only one that I can tell you that can bring peace to a troubled and a disrupted life. Jesus is the peace that we need. Jesus is all the peace we need. If you don't have any money, Jesus doesn't issue out money, but he can provide a way for you to get money. Jesus doesn't write checks for you to pay your bills, but I tell you what he can do. He can give you the ways and means to pay the bills if you got bills to be paid. And I tell you something else about Jesus. One thing I can tell you about him that I know, that he's always on duty. He's always there just as near as your call. Now, I can't promise you that he'll hear every call that you call upon him for. I can't promise you that he'll answer them, but I can promise you that he will hear. Jesus hears all prayers. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying this. When it's time for you to get some order and some peace in your life, go to Jesus, and he's got the peace that'll be still. He's got the peace that you can rely upon. He's got the peace that you can call upon. He's got the peace that'll give you peace in your life or in your turmoil, in your confusion. Peace be still. Peace be still. And stop talking about all that stuff you own, because you don't own nothing. You thank God for letting you use what you have. You just thank him each and every day, each and every morning when you get up. You thank him for letting you get up, because you didn't wake yourself up. You thank him each and every morning when you get up, and then you thank him each and every evening just before you retire, because you're going into a world unknown to us, because when you go to sleep, there's nothing you can do. You don't know what's going on. Things can crawl over you. Things can bite you. Things can run into your house on you. You just don't know. You got to ask the Lord to bring peace in your life. Peace be still. Peace be still. When you form that right relationship with God, you are able to have peace. And peace can be still. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, that if you don't know God, you need to form a relationship with him. And you need to form a relationship with him in order that you can be able to know with surety that if you ask him, he has an answer for you. Now, I didn't say he would give you an answer, but he has an answer for you. And he can outthink man. He can do for you what man can't do. You know, some of us, we go to different kinds of people. We go to psychiatrists, psychologists, doctors, and all these kind of things. And we're looking for peace, when all you need to do is go into your Bible and go to the Master. And he'll bring peace in your life. He said, when you need me, call upon me. When you need to have peace in your life, you call upon him. And you know something? Somebody said, well, I'm not sure how to call upon the Master. Well, it's simple. You go to him and you talk to him. Just like you and I might have a conversation, you have that same kind of conversation with the Master. Somebody once told me, well, I can't pray that well. Well, you can talk, can't you? That's all it is. Have a little talk with Jesus. That's all you need to do. And I don't care what your situation is, it's not too big for God to handle. It's not too much that you can put on him that he can't bear. For he bore the sins of the world on yonder's cross. So how can he not handle whatever may be ailing you? If you want peace, go to the peacemaker. Go to the one who can calm the angry waves and calm the blusterous wind. Jesus can do all of that and more. Didn't he make water out of wine out of water? At a wedding in Cana, I believe it was. He made wine out of water, and somebody said, this is the best wine we've ever tasted. They said, usually you give us the bad stuff, the good stuff first, and then give us the bad stuff, but you have presented us with the good stuff in the end. Peace be still. And don't worry about anything about what you have or what you don't have. Because the Lord owns it all anyway. He can give you what he will, or he can take from you what you will, what he will. And don't say that God can't help me now, because he can. He can always help. Do you remember just this past week, this man drove a truck up into Central Park and killed all those folks? Why? Because of evilness. That's all. No other reason. He killed people who were out living and enjoying their lives, walking and running and bicycling through the park. This man disrupted their lives. So what I'm trying to tell you is that you need peace, because you never know what trouble is going to come in at. And you need peace in your life. Peace to be still. Peace, be still. If you're here today and not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And Brother Jackson will take you down in the water this morning. He's ready, willing, and able. All you got to do is make the steps forward, and God will, Brother Jackson will take you straight to the Lord through baptism. If you've already been baptized in your life, but somewhere you went astray and you want to come back home, you ask the Lord to forgive you, come forward, ask the church to pray with and for you that you may grow strong. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.